What to do in times of darkness. Before we get into this lesson in the book of Habakkuk, particularly involving the response of Habakkuk back to what God has now told him, I'd like to take us to a scripture in Isaiah chapter 50. And in this chapter, there are two verses that really bless and encourage our hearts. It says in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 50, "Who is among you that fears the Lord?" And of course, the prophet Isaiah is seeing way beyond, trying to say that just being born of Abraham does not necessarily make you a Jew. It's by faith. It's the spiritual heart of trusting God that makes you true Israel here. He says, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant?" It appears that he looks beyond and sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Most scholars agree that he refers here to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, who is it of God's people at that time on this earth that truly believes in God will be the ones who will receive His Son that will come one day. But that's really not the point. It says that walks in darkness and has no light. You see, a true servant of God, a true one that fears God, is going to have to go through times of darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like those times. I enjoy it when the light is on because I can see where I'm going. But there are difficult times that all of us will go through. And how is it that what do we do? What is our response in that time? Well, it goes on to say, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." And I'd like to take that little first phrase because we're seeing something in Habakkuk that he does that we can all learn from in this lesson. The name of the Lord is his character. It's what he is. It's not like a name that we have which simply identifies someone, but it refers to the character, the essence of the individual. Someone told me one day that my name means wagon. I really appreciate that. But burden bearer, that's Wayne. And the names in Scripture were that way. The names of God are so many, and it's a beautiful picture as we learn to trust in the character of God. You mean, Wayne, you're telling me that if I'm going through a bad time, a time of darkness, then what I see around me is not to affect me? That's exactly right. Instead of letting what's around me affect me, I must come and cling to what I know about the character of God. Now let's turn over to Habakkuk and let's see how Habakkuk does exactly this in chapter 1. First of all, he's come before the Lord in verses 2 down through 4. He has a problem. He can't understand why God has not done something to correct the people. He says, "God, when are you going to hear my prayers?" He sees how Judah has turned their backs against God. And then God answers him. And you know, it's by the grace of the Lord that he does give us the answers that he does. He gives him an answer, but it's an answer that throws a little more confusion into Habakkuk. He talks about the fact that he's raising up a pagan nation to come in and purify and correct and to judge his own people. Now, this is difficult to say the least. It's kind of like, say, for instance, you're going through a bad time right now. And you look at your circumstance and you don't like what you see. So you come to the Word of God and the Word of God tells you to do something you really don't want to do. You don't really even want to hear. Now, what do you do in times like that? There's a song out that says, "When you can't trace His hand, trust His heart." And that's the real key to what's happening here. Habakkuk is learning to trust the character of God. Even though he cannot understand why God would raise up a pagan nation to come in and purify his own covenant people, he still remembers that which he knows about God. Now, when you're going through those times, remember the character of God. Remember that when God tells you to do something and you don't understand why he tells you to do that, remember his character. If you don't understand everything he's doing, that's all right. Trust his character. Rely upon his name, as Isaiah told us in Isaiah chapter 50. Well, let's just see what it is that Habakkuk clings to here that really helps him in this difficult time that he's going through. Frustrating enough was the situation of Judah. But now to add to the frustration was to discern and to hear and to understand what God is up to with the pagan nation of the Chaldeans. First of all, he says, "Art thou not from everlasting?" He puts this in the form of a question, but he's reminding himself at the same time. It's like we know this, but it's almost as if it's a little confusing with what we see. "Art thou not from everlasting?" The word everlasting here in the Hebrew has to do, everlasting, has to do with God's being before the people. It means to come from before. It even has to do from coming from the east. But I get the idea in it that it means he's pre-existent. He's self-existent. He's omnipresent. And because of that, he's able to see not only behind, he knows what's going on up until this particular point, he can see during, and he can see in the future. He knows what's going to happen. Now, if we would cling to that one aspect of God in all of our circumstances, it would comfort us greatly because He is sovereign. He knows what's going on. He knows what led up to what's going on. He knows what's happening because He's in charge of it. And He also knows what's in the future. So, in other words, when the bad things happen around us and God's Word does not seem to comfort us sometimes like we really would want it to, it tells us things that throw us a little bit, even towards the character of God. We remember what God's character is all about. He knows He must be doing something that has a future benefit for all of us. So, when I go through difficult times, I must rest in the fact that God's character is impeccable. I cannot ever come against it. It may be that in His Word, I don't understand. It may be that in my circumstances, I don't understand. But I can trust in the name of the Lord, the character of my God. I remember when we were years ago, about to lose our third child. Donna had carried it for full term, and she was about to go into surgery. They thought the child was dead, but they were not sure. And I remember coming before the Lord, not understanding what was going on. Why would God not allow us to have that third child? We had prayed about it. We had even named her. The kids had looked forward to her. We waited for the right timing in our life. And yet now something had seemingly gone wrong. I would come to the Word, and it would simply direct me to trust Him, to praise Him. Somehow, I went through a dilemma because that didn't seem to help me. I wanted the answers of, I'll deliver you. I'll do what you want. But I didn't get that back. But the overwhelming direction that seemed like the God, the Holy Spirit gave me was evidently what happens to Habakkuk here. He drove me back to what I knew about God, the character of God. God knows the future, and God knows what's best for me right now. I don't know about you, but I go through times when I think that I can pretty well tell God what to do. And I know that my associate pastor has a sign in his office and says there are two absolutes. One is there is a God, and two is you're not Him. And Habakkuk knows this. Habakkuk realizes this. Habakkuk knows that God's in control, but oh, it's difficult for him at this point, I see, to receive what God has told him. At the same time, though, you see him clinging to what he knows about the character of God. Art thou not from everlasting, he says. And then he says, O Lord. The second thing that we need to watch out for, O Lord. Now, when you see in the New American Standard, Lord, capitalized, it's speaking of Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is the name for a God that cares. A God that cares. It was El Shaddai that he revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it was Jehovah that he revealed himself to Moses when he was about to take the people out of Egypt. And so it has to do with his care. Oh, Lord. And of course, we know that you add names to that. You can add Nisi, who is my banner. You can add Rapha, which is my healer. You can just go right on down the list of what God is in our life. So he's making an appeal here, and he's rehearsing to himself that he knows, first of all, God knows what's going on. God knows before, God knows during, and God knows after. So therefore, you're going to have to trust His character. When you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. But then the second thing is, he knows that God cares about His people. That word right there is a caring God. This is what it all has to do. Jehovah is also I Am. It can also be translated Yahweh. None of those are good translations because we don't know how to say that word. That was the personal name for God that the Hebrews had. So you see in his appeal, he's appealing now to the one who knows before and after. He's appealing to the Jehovah, and then he uses the term God. And that is Elohim, Elohim. That is the fullness of God. That's the Godhead. That's the power and the majesty of God altogether. So you know he knows something here. And he's going through a time of darkness. Not only the darkness of not knowing what's going on in his circumstances, but a little bit of darkness having just heard from the Lord. It wasn't the most exciting thing he's ever heard. So what is he doing? He's driven to trust the character of God. God knows before, during, after. Why does he know that? Because he's in charge. But not only that, God cares. But not only that, God is all powerful. He's Elohim, which is that word for the fullness of the Godhead. Well, he goes on, he says, my Holy One, my Holy One. And the word my Holy One there refers to the fact that God cannot, let's put it this way. I think this would be a better definition of that. He is separated. He is separated from all sin attitude. In other words, God is not like you and me. God is not like mankind. He is totally separate. He is totally holy. There's nothing in God that can be mistrusted because God is totally holy. He's totally pure. There's no sin in him whatsoever. Therefore, sin being that which we do for self, that which we do for our own in spite of others, there's nothing like that in the attitude of God. You can trust the attitude of God. You can trust the character of God. There are a lot of people in these days that seem to be deifying the problems of this life and not the solutions of this life. The solutions sometimes are not as easily understood in God's Word. That's true. Sometimes we don't want to hear what God's Word has to say. And it's confusing, and at best it's difficult. At the same time, we know the character of God. Look at who we're dealing with here. And Habakkuk comes back and he brings up what he knows about the character of God. What are you going through right now? What is your difficulty right now? You've gone for counseling and somebody's trying to get you in touch with the counselor, which is real counseling. They take you to the Word of God. The Word of God says to the wife, you be submissive to your husband. You really don't want to hear that. But what do you know about the character of God? God knows the design. God knows before, during, and after. God is the one who cares about you. God's not doing this to hurt you or to get you. He already has you. He's doing this for your benefit. There's no sin in God. He's holy. He's separate from the moral injustices of people. There's nothing in him that can be mistrusted. Everything can be trusted about the character of God. What a relief, because sometimes life is just not as satisfactory as we want it to be. It doesn't just seem to come across to us like we want it to come across. So therefore, we must trust in the character of God. Well, he moves on in the verse and he says, we will not die. We will not die. Now, that term, we will not die, has to the Hebrew a very special significance. Because you see, these were covenant children of God. They knew that God in His covenant had promised to sustain and to keep them forever. They were in an everlasting covenant with God because of Abraham. Now we know that Jesus is going to come through that, and He's the seed that was promised to Abraham. We also know that the Lord Jesus is going to bring many of Israel to Himself during this age, but we also realize as a nation of Israel that has rejected Jesus at this time, God's still going to honor that, and one day is going to bring that remnant to Himself. Now, this was not all understood by Habakkuk. It's not fully grasped in my own mind, much less Habakkuk. He was a prophet that prophesied in part and in portion. They didn't understand all these pieces, but they did know that God was on their side. They did know they were God's idea. They did know that God was not going to let them cease to exist. The word die there has more in the Hebrew mindset, cease to exist, whereas you get into the Greek mindset, there's a separation here of the soul leaving to be with the Lord. And so they knew that as a nation, God was not going to just get rid of them. That God had made a covenant to them and they were His people. Now, whatever you're going through right now, it might help you to remember that you're even more so should be aware of this covenant. We're in a new covenant, that covenant promised to Abraham, but we're in the seed that was the Lord Jesus Christ of Galatians chapter 3. We have entered into covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, now we can trust in the fact of His faithfulness to us. Now that is so incredibly important. God put Abraham to sleep when He cut the covenant with him in Genesis 15. In other words, it had really nothing to do with Abraham. It had everything to do with God. And the covenant that Israel entered into, Israel was not even existent at that time. Israel was God's idea. And He's going to preserve Israel, and through Israel will come the seed. We also are in that covenant, that new covenant now provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful to us. When we're not faithful to Him, He's still faithful to us. And that's the most beautiful thing about what we can learn about God. What are you going through right now? And perhaps maybe you're distrusting the Lord. Maybe something has caused you to think that God doesn't love you anymore. God's committed to you. God's a caring God. You can trust everything about Him. God knows what's going on in your life. You see, this is what Habakkuk has to cling to now that he's going through this time of darkness. Well, it goes on. He says, Thou, O Lord, Jehovah, hast appointed them to judge. Now he's grasping something here that God has communicated to his spirit. He realizes that if God's raising up these Chaldeans, then they were to judge his people. What was it he asked God for in verses 2 through 4? He asked God to do something. Do what? Judge the sin of his people. And so now he's realizing that God is doing exactly what he asked him to do, but he's doing it in a way that Habakkuk would have never thought of. God really is raising up these evil people to judge his people. Now, he knows at this point they need that judgment, and he's trusting the character of God that what judgment he's bringing up is the right kind of judgment. Well, he says something else. As we continue in the verse, he says, And thou, O rock. Now that word rock has the idea of stability. Let me put that down. Thou, O rock, has the idea of stability, dependability. Something that absolutely is immovable. God, your character is impeccable. And God, what you're doing, I don't fully grasp, nor do I understand. But I know these things about you. And I'm going to trust you even in this because I know you're the rock. You are absolutely dependable. You're stable. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he goes on to rehearse exactly what he says. He says, Thou hast established them. Again, the idea, you have made a particular choice of them to correct. In other words, to set straight. The word correct has different from the word from judge. It's more the idea of putting them back on the right track. And that's very, very important. You're going to judge your people. Why? To correct them. To set them straight. Judgment is not to get rid of you. But judgment is to get you back on course. To bring you to where you ought to be. Now, look what he's doing here. And this is the thing that really grabs me in this whole lesson, is the fact that he's turning the right way. He's turning towards the Lord. He's turning to his character. His ways are tough. He realizes, though, they are to correct. He's a rock, and he's absolutely dependable. Now, again, what are you going through right now? What is the dark circumstances of your life? I know in this past year, I've gone through more dark times than I have in years that I can remember. And it seems like it's in those dark times, those times of distress, that we really sense God moving in our life. But many times, the Word of God comes and speaks to us, but we don't even really grasp why it is so unreasonable. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There are many times that God will speak to us things that we just don't want to hear. But we have got to trust in His character. You know, I can think of a lady who came to me several years ago, and she said her husband was not a believer. And I really grieved with her because she began to show me the pattern of immorality and other things in his life. And she said, but you know, God's put on my heart to pray for him and to win him. So I took her to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I talked to her about submission, and I talked to her about how the word likewise is used and the example of Christ is used there, and how a woman without even uttering a word can win her husband to the Lord. And we began to pray about that, and several other folks got involved. Several ladies would get around her to pray for her. And you know, lo and behold, one day I got a phone call that he had tried to commit suicide and just came right to the edge of death and was there in the hospital. So I went down to see him, and I walked in the room. He had never met me because he would stay aloof. He would stay away. When I would try to get in touch with him, no way. He was not going to turn to anyone. And I went in, and I shared the Lord with him. As I walked in the door, he said, "I don't know who you are, but I need to know Christ." And it was an incredible miracle of seeing a man come full circle to coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I really thought that's what this lady wanted. I really felt like in her heart that's what she had prayed for, and I thought she would just rejoice. You know what that lady did? She left him. Within 3 weeks' period of time, had left him and never returned, because what she really wanted was sympathy. She really didn't want to hear what the Word of God had to say, even though God still brought her husband to know the Lord. She bailed out and walked away. Now, folks, listen, God's Word sometimes will hit us because God's Word, God knows the motives of our heart. God knows the circumstances. We have got to trust Him in the midst of this thing. But remember this, make sure your heart is right. Make sure your attitudes are right. Because when God speaks His Word to you and you don't understand it, you're going to have to obey it anyway. Why? Because you trust His character. You trust everything about Him. You don't want to be like this lady I just gave you an example of. You don't want to be using these things to get your own way, because that way you'll never be satisfied with the end results. But Habakkuk is clinging to what he knows about God. He's clinging to the character of God. Now let's just back up a little bit. God is everlasting. You're going through a trial right now. What do you need to know? That means He knows everything that's going on. He already knows how it's going to work out, and He's absolutely in control of it because He's everlasting. He's always been. He always will be. Secondly, you know the fact that He cares about you. He not only loves you, and He not only knows what's going on, but He deeply, deeply, deeply is concerned about you. He cares about every little detail of your life. But thirdly, He is Elohim. He's powerful enough to do whatever it is that needs to be done at any given time. He is God. He's the Holy One. He's separated from all the moral injustice that you see in this world. He's not like your daddy, earthly daddy. He's not like any judge that you know that sits on a court bench. He is different from anything that's relegated to man. He's absolutely the Holy One. He is the one separate and above from anything that we see down here. He is also the fact that He's in covenant with us. He's faithful to us. You're not going to die. He's in the sense that He's going to cast you away. Even if you have to go through physical death on this earth as your trial, He's not cast you away. He's conquered death and will take you to be with Himself. And not only that, whatever He does is to correct. He's not doing it just to condemn. He's doing it to correct. And He's the rock who's dependable forever. What do you do in times of darkness? What do you do when you don't want us to? You trust in the character of God. Now, if you'll move on just a little bit in the verses, you'll see that Habakkuk goes through what every one of us go through. He's done the right thing. Praise the Lord for Habakkuk. But he still has some questions, and this is what we all sometimes go through. We know these things about God, and He knows that. He knows the character of God. He knows that God's dependable. He knows that God cares upon him. But this has been a real load, what God has just shared with him. This is tough for him to grasp, because the people of Judah are already bad enough. Why would he raise up this great? But he knows it to correct. He understands this. But then it almost seems to me like, and this is not really in our lesson, but it almost seems to me like he shifts gears just a little bit, and some confusion begins to come back up in him because he gets his eyes off the character of God just for a second. Have you ever done that? And immediately he begins to look at his circumstances again. And remember, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. He's doing well. I'm not trying to throw a rock at him at all. But there's something here in verses 13 through 17. Most of our focus has been on verse 12, and I want to keep it there. But remember this, when you start looking around you, that's when the doubts are going to come back. We're going to see Habakkuk go through a precious, precious time in this. He's clinging to what he knows about God. But man, you can see the wrestling match that's going on inside of his head, because he asked four questions from verse 13 down through verse 17 that are coming up to him as a result of what he does know about God. There's just some things that he can't seem to put together. Now, you've got to understand where He is. We're all there. If you're going through a difficult time, if you're going through a dark time, you're going to be right there where Habakkuk is. Cling to the name of the Lord. Rely upon your God. But remember, what you see happening sometimes will throw some confusion back into your life. And Habakkuk asked these questions in verse 13. He says, "Thine eyes are too pure to approve evil." So I know this about You, God. God, I'm clinging to that. If I didn't know that, I would really be in bad shape, to me, is what Habakkuk is saying. He says, "Thou canst not look on wickedness with favor." But then he asked a question, and you can understand why he would ask the question. He says, "Why dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously?" And there are times when, because of what you're looking at, opposed to what you know about God, can confuse you. You've got to remember that. What you see with your eyes is never the obvious. The actual is what you know about God and what God has said in His Word. What you see on the surface is always for some future glorious and holy purpose that God is up to. Why canst thou, that dost thou look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Kind of like, we know God's in control, but Lord, it just seems to me that the righteous people are sort of getting the short end of the stick. Have you ever felt that way? Well, you can really identify with Habakkuk. He's doing the right thing. He's clinging to what he knows about God. But oh, how these nagging questions keep coming up inside of him. I know I feel that way when I look at life. It's like, God, I know these things about You, but I just can't seem to understand why this is happening. It almost looks like You're making the church, You're making the Christians look as if they're the weaklings on this earth, that they don't have a God that is powerful enough to deliver them. Well, he moves on to a second question. He says, "Why art thou silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they?" In other words, Lord, aren't You concerned? I know You're concerned, God. I know You're Jehovah. And he's using those terms. He knows he's Jehovah. He knows he cares about them. But Lord, it just seems like You're so silent when the wicked are swallowing up those more righteous than they. He's still having a little bit of trouble understanding how the Chaldeans can come in and actually do that which God has told him they're going to do, to correct them and to judge his own people. Of course, we know the whole story. He didn't. We know Daniel. We know the fact that they did go into captivity. We also know that they came out. Nehemiah, when they came out, built the walls of Jerusalem. God is not going to try to get rid of them as a nation, but He's got to set them back on the right course. Now, what's going on in your life right now that you know the character of God, and yet it appears that God just seems so silent when it seems like He's allowing the unrighteous, the treacherous, to swallow up those more righteous than they? And then he comes to another question. And all of this has to do with this conversation with the Lord in chapter 1, how he brought it before the Lord and God answered him back. He says in verse 14, "Why hast thou made men like the fish of the sea?" Now the men there obviously are the children of Judah or Israel, because he says, "like creeping things without a ruler over them." He says, "The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore they rejoice and are glad." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, I'm having a little bit of trouble here. I know what You're doing. I know Your character. I guess it's just me. My mind's not capable of knowing everything that You're doing. But Lord, it appears that You're causing us to look like we're defenseless fish in the throes of the enemy's net, the fisherman's net." And he says, "Lord, I don't quite understand why this has to be that way." He says, "The Chaldeans bring them all to hook." Then he says in verse 16, "Therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net." Lord, it kind of looks to me like if You let them get us, they're going to get the victory. They're going to think that they did it themselves. And they burn incense to their fishing net because through these things their catch is large. Well, I think these questions are just appropriate because that shows the feet of clay of Habakkuk. We all have feet of clay. We know what we need to cling to is the character of God. But there are going to be times when we just can't figure all of that out. I remember last fall when my son went off to college. My daughter's been off to college for 2 years, but when Stephen went off to college, oh boy, I never knew how to pray until Stephen left to go to college. First time he came home was in October for my 10th year anniversary in our church. And I got a phone call on a Saturday afternoon that said that he was laying beside the road on I-16 south of Macon, Georgia, having flipped his car 4 times. And they said they didn't know how he was, but we needed to know that. They were taking him to the hospital in Macon, Georgia. And I want you to know, as I was driving down there, I kind of felt like a backup. I know God's in control. I know God cares about my son. I know God loves us. And there was no problem with that. This was a time of darkness like we had not walked through before. And going down, I was trying to rehearse those things. God, I know you're in control. God, whatever happens, I know that you love us. I know that we're in covenant with you. I know that you're faithful to us. But then that nagging question kept coming up to me. But God, why? Why? Why do you have to do it this way? You see, that's the humanity in all of us. It was in Habakkuk. It's in us. It's not sinful, really, to do that as much as it is. We've got to be real careful because cling, rely upon your God. Rely upon His name. You're not going to figure out all of His ways, but rely upon who He is. Rely upon His character. And again, that song comes back. When you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. That's the real key to what we're seeing here. Well, we got to Macon, Georgia, and found out my son was all right. Internally, he was cut up and bruised on the outside, and he was hungry and wanted to go home. So I knew he was okay. Well, that was the first time he left campus. The second time he left campus was up in the last part of October and almost in the first of November. He wanted to go see Georgia and Florida play football. Well, he'd called me several times and wanted to see if I could get tickets for him, and I couldn't find any anywhere because it was a sellout. I was on national TV. Florida, of course, had a great football team, and he's a Georgia fan. I pray for him. But anyway, he wanted to get those tickets. Well, he decides to go down with his roommate to see that game. They drive 2.5 hours. They're going to see if they can buy the tickets while they're there. And sure enough, they find a guy that was selling two tickets for $30 a piece. Now, the tickets only cost, $12, $14, but they cost $30 a piece. They took the two tickets. Steve was so excited, he went to a phone booth to try to call me. Well, he couldn't get in the line. There's a long line of people there. Plus, I was away anyway. So he goes on, and they're going into the game. Now, they get up to the gate, and he has two tickets in his hand. And as he walked up to the gate, a man walked up to him and said, "Son, I need those two tickets. How much you take for them?" And Stephen has a problem. He has some of my jeans in him. And he said, $50. I mean, he's paid $30 for them, buddy. I'm not giving them away for $50. I'm going to my seat. The man looked at him, took no money, just by what Stephen said. And he said, "You're under arrest." And Stephen said, "You've got to be kidding me." And he said, "I'm going to my seat." The guy says, "No, you're not. You're going to jail." Handcuffed him. You've got to know my Stephen. If you don't know my Stephen, this means nothing. You're thinking I'm an ignorant parent, doesn't know his son. I know my son real well. And he's so innocent, he doesn't understand that you just can't say everything that you want to say in all places. Well, they took him to the Duval County Jail in Jacksonville, Florida, and booked him on $1,000 bond. My son. Well, I get a phone call from one of his friends, and little old Doug called me and said, "Mr. Barber," he said, "I need to talk to you about your son, Stephen." "What is it this time?" I knew he hadn't had a wreck because his car is in the junkyard. I mean, he tore it up on the first one. And he said, "Well, sir, he's in jail." Now, I know God's in control, and I know God loves me, and I know God's character, and I know that He's holy, and I know there's nothing immoral in Him, and I know that He's dependable, and I know He's faithful. But my feet of clay rose up on me, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, Lord, why?" Well, I finally get a phone call from Stephen and find out what happened, and I asked him if he was okay, and he said he was. He says, "Dad, I stayed up last night till almost 2 o'clock in the morning reading Keith Green's book on No Compromise." He says, "As far as I know, my heart is as pure before God as it's ever been." He said, "Dad, why are these things happening to me? What am I doing wrong?" Now, parent, you're with me. Let's just call ourselves Habakkuk here for a second. How are we going to handle that? How are you going to handle it? I don't understand everything God's doing. As a matter of fact, it's very difficult to explain what's going on. But I'll tell you what, I've got to trust in the character of God. And to me, this is the battle going on with Habakkuk right now. He trusts the character of God, but all the confusion that's coming into his life as a result of what's been going on. So I told Stephen, I said, "Son, it's not what you're doing wrong. It's what God is doing is right. Something He's trying to teach you. There were thousands of kids down there today. Why He allowed you to go through that, I don't know. But it's something in it." Well, he had to stay in jail all night long. I let him stay down there. I talked to a desk sergeant. He said, "If he was my son, I'd leave him here because the judge in the morning will be very kind to him. He hates this kind of stuff. Your son's never had a problem before. It won't be on his record. It'll just be an inconvenience for one night." So I let him stay. Next morning, he was out, and God truly has used that. I look back now. These are several months later that I'm sharing this. When I look back at it, I can see the hand of God. It's so clear to me now. but I couldn't see it then. However, if you'll cling to the character of God, even though you don't even understand the instructions He gives you in the Word, stand on them, walk by faith, and you're going to see that coming up in chapter 2. Don't ever let your questioning of God cause you to start doubting Him. I don't really believe he's doubted him to that point yet. Perhaps he is. I don't know. There's a dilemma in my mind. It's what's going on with Habakkuk in this time. But I do know there's confusion. Why? Because of what he's seeing. He's trying to reason it out now. But instead of clinging to what he knows about God. Well, in verse 17, he basically says, "Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing?" You know, it's just tough sometimes when we know the character of God to discern all of His ways. It's very difficult. And here he is thinking, and I know that later on in the book, he really hates himself for thinking that way, because you can really see the beautiful way he comes through all of this. But basically what he's saying is, "Lord, I just cannot quite figure out how you're going to use them to come in and do all this. And then what are you going to do to defeat them? Are you just going to let them go on doing what they're doing?" You see the questions that he had. And you see, folks, when we go through times of darkness, we're going to have the very same problems Habakkuk had. We're going to go through times when God is going to speak to us, and He's going to speak to us with what our minds think is the unreasonable. But I want to share a principle with you that I'm learning as I walk in my Christian pilgrimage. What appears to be unreasonable, hinging on the unreasonable. You know what a hinge is? Like a door. Hinging on the unreasonable lies the unexpected. What God is really up to. And folks, many, many believers have bailed out on God because they didn't do as Habakkuk and come all the way around and stand on what God says and decide to live by their faith. And boy, you're going to see a beautiful picture of how Habakkuk comes through this. But what they do, they end up shaking their fist in God's face and as a result, miss out on all the blessings that God had for them. You see, God had to break Judah in order to bless Judah. He knew that. He knew God was up to that. But he just didn't quite understand why he was using the tools he was going to use to do it, the particular ones. You see, we can pray to be broken, we can pray all that thing, and we want the blessings of God, but we just cannot choose the tools that God's going to use to do it in our life. You're going through a dark time right now? What is God trying to teach you about His character? Are you clinging to who He is? Do you really believe He's holy? Do you really believe He's the Everlasting, excuse me. Do you really believe that He's Jehovah that loves you? Do you really believe that? Well, if you do, stop trying to figure it out. You cannot figure it out. You're not God. Just cling to what you know about the character of God. Those who walk in darkness, they trust in the name of the Lord. And then it says in Isaiah 50, they rely upon their personal now, their God. He's your God if you're a believer. He's your Father. Jesus is your Christ. He's your Messiah. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He cares about you. Don't bail out on Him. However dark it is, and even though you don't understand His Word as He speaks to you, trust His character and do what His Word says. And you'll see that He is the Everlasting. He knows what's going to happen already. That's why He spoke to you what He spoke to you. Stand on it. And you'll see the precious blessings of God down the way. You don't want to miss God. Remember what we say. We're living in a day when God's Word to people is just not enough because they don't understand it. Habakkuk didn't understand it either, but he trusted the character of the God who spoke it. That's the key. When you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. What do we do in times of darkness? Trust in the name, the character of God. May we pray together. Father, we just thank You so very much for this time. And we thank You, Father, for this wonderful book. We pray, Father, in the times of darkness, that, Lord, we won't bail out on You. But in the times of darkness, we will cling to what we know about Your character, how You love us. And, Lord, we would not even be here were it not for Your love for us. And Father, when we don't understand Your Word sometimes, when it tells us to do things that our flesh almost wants to rebel against, thank You, Father, we can trust what You say because we trust who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.